Last year we talked about we're going to look at Jesus the whole year. Whatever we're doing, whether we're preaching, whether we're worshiping, whatever we're doing, we're looking at Jesus. And guess what we're going to do this year? Nothing different. We're going to keep looking at Jesus. We're going to continue to look at him. We're going to continue to preach him. We're going to continue to exalt him. It's about him. Amen? That's how we're going to grow, guys, is when we look at him. That's how you grow, is Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, and we're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to preach the gospel. Amen? Who's going to preach the gospel?
I am.
Wow. Go. Go get her, Lord. Get her, Lord. So today, I'm going to lay a foundation for the rest of the year that I feel like the Lord has led me to just kind of unpack for this year and for us to have a deeper understanding of what the gospel is. Amen? Because the gospel is everything. The gospel is good news, right? So like there would be something happening in the city. There's like ruins and everything. And you would see this messenger running. And he's like, I have good news. That's the same word as the gospel that is used, right? So if we can keep up with the slides, please. I got some slides so you guys can not just hear, but see. Come on, okay? So the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 14, 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means change the way you think. Change the way you think. Change where you're looking. Change what you're hearing. Change what you're seeing. Okay? So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does at hand mean? At hand means within reach. It is to be where someone or something is. Jesus brought the kingdom. Say kingdom. Kingdom. Jesus the King brought the kingdom. A kingdom is a territory or dominion or group of people ruled by the same monarch. Let me give you a deeper from Miles Monroe. Ready? A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, purpose, and intent, producing a culture, values, morals, and a lifestyle that reflects the king's desires and nature for his citizens. Did you catch that? I mean, that's a hefty, lofty definition. But the kingdom is the influence of a king, where a kingdom reflects the nature of the king. Amen? You guys, come on. This is going to be good. Lord, help us, help us, help us. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first, what? The kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. What is this added unto you? Do you realize that passage he was literally saying? He's saying, don't worry about food. Don't worry about what you'll drink. Don't worry about what you wear. What is everybody in this world worried about? What they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, and what getting water, drink, their needs. That's what they're worried about. But God is like, don't even worry about that. What is this talking about? And we're going to break it down later in another sermon. But priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. The kingdom is his territory in which he rules, which he lords over. And his righteousness is right relationship with God, his nature, and everything in that. Righteousness is right standing before God. So what is he saying? First seek the kingdom, where the king rules over, and everything that's within the territory. The kingdom is principles, it's ideas, it's everything that the king has for us, and right standing with God, which has been made available through Jesus. Amen? Matthew 6:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your what? Your what? Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Why is that important? I'm going to show you why it's important. Did you know there's a difference between religion and the gospel of the kingdom? Religion tries to answer your questions that you might have. Religion tries to fill your heart, tries to satisfy, but it cannot. Only the king and his kingdom can satisfy you. Only Jesus satisfies. Not religion, but Jesus. Because this is a mentality. We can have a religious mentality or we can have a kingdom mentality. So this is what we're going to look at. Ready? I'm going to pull some things out of a book and then some things that the Lord just has been opening to me. But religion preoccupies man until he finds the kingdom. What does that mean? Religion will take a place for you until you find the real thing. We play religion because we're like, oh, I'm looking for something real. I'm telling you, the king and his kingdom is the most real thing you can find. And is the thing that your heart longs for. Why? Because in the beginning, God created the earth and what? He gave man dominion. Dominion means king's domain. Dominion. He gave him rule. Amen? We'll have to break that down too. There's so much. Oh, so much. Religion is what man does until he finds the kingdom. Religion prepares man to leave earth. The kingdom empowers man to dominate earth. See, I'm not just talking, I'm all about the gospel of salvation. That's included in the gospel of the kingdom. But sometimes we sell ourselves short of just the gospel of the kingdom. We're like, Jesus, you're my savior, right? And he is your savior. But when you enter the kingdom realm, he's not just your savior, he's your Lord and King. So instead of Jesus, you're my savior, I'm waiting to go to heaven finally. God's like, no, I'm your Lord and King and you are my citizens and I'm empowering you to bring the kingdom on this earth. Whew. Religion focuses on heaven. The kingdom focuses on earth. Don't hear me wrong here. Religion focuses, when can I get to heaven? Come on, come on. Like, yeah, we want to be with Jesus, but kingdom is like, how can I get heaven to earth? Religion is reaching up to God. The kingdom is God coming down to man. Religion wants to escape earth. The kingdom impacts, influences, and changes the earth. Religion seeks to take earth to heaven. The kingdom seeks to bring heaven to earth. Matthew 5:34. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven. What is heaven? It's saying heaven, for it is the throne of God. Heaven is the place where Jesus reigns. Heaven is the place where God reigns. Heaven is the throne of God. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why it's called the kingdom of heaven. Because he rules from heaven. Right? What is the next thing? The earth, or by the earth, for it is his what? Footstool. It's not us trying to bring earth to heaven, but heaven to earth. I mean, this is such a deep thought because it says in Ephesians that you have been seated with who? Christ. You've been seated in heavenly places. It is not us trying to reach up in heaven. It's us trying to bring heaven to earth. When an empire takes over a country, they don't bring the country to the empire. They bring the empire to the country. Did you catch that? When an empire, Roman Empire, what did they do? They didn't bring, okay, we're going to bring Israel into Roman, into Italy, where they reigned, right? Into Rome, the headquarters, right? Heaven is the headquarters, by the way. They didn't bring Israel to there. Guess what? They brought representatives, ambassadors, to come into a country and release the culture of Rome. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are a citizen that brings the culture of heaven, his principles, the reign and rule of heaven into a place. And that's how you take over. Are you getting it? Man, this has me fired up. Let's go. What is culture? Culture is the set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or organization. Merriam-Webster, quotation. It is a set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that creates or characterizes an institution, a gathering, a community, a nation. One more thing I do want to say is when an empire takes over, and we're going to later break these down because there's so much in them. An empire takes over a country, that country now has the resources of the empire. So when you bring heaven to a place, come on, you bring heaven to a place, you now have the resources of heaven. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, in his riches, in his glory, everything. And when you're an ambassador, guys, you have access. So that's kind of the kingdom, a little bit. Just trying to define it. Next, identity in the kingdom. Identity in the kingdom. Are you ready? Revelations 1:6. We are kings and priests in the kingdom. Sons and daughters. Romans 8:17. We're heirs and co-heirs. What does that mean? We have an inheritance. Do you know what an inheritance is? That means there's something that is stored up for you that belongs to you. That you have access to. You are heirs and co-heirs. It says first you are sons, then heirs, then co-heirs. Why is this important? Because you first must have, and I heard someone share this, it like touched me. You first must have the revelation that you're a son or daughter to have the revelation that you're an heir. You can't jump, oh, I'm an heir, if you don't understand you're not a son and daughter. You first must understand that you are a son and daughter to be able to access your inheritance. Then you understand you're an heir. And then you understand you're a co-heir with Christ. Philippians 3:20, citizens of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. Someone asks you where you're from, you can say heaven. What state are you from? I'm from heaven, bro. I'm a citizen of heaven. What does a citizen have? A citizen has rights. A citizen has rights. Rights in the kingdom. A citizen has protection in the kingdom. There are so many benefits of having, of being a citizen of heaven. Define citizen right here. One entitled to the rights and privileges of a free man, a member of the place they belong to. Merriam-Webster, one more time. Oh, this is a big one, guys. 2 Corinthians 5:20. I'm not reading them just for the sake of time. There's so much to break down. Ambassadors, you are ambassadors of Christ. A diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as a resident representative. You are a representative of the king. Where you go, you represent the king. Who are you representing today? When you go to your school, who are you representing? If you understand your identity in the kingdom, you're like, yes, I represent heaven and his king, and the king of heaven. So it's a resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. An ambassador is appointed for a very special assignment. Say, I am appointed for a special assignment. Every single one of you. An ambassador is a representative or messenger. Did you know you're a messenger of the kingdom? You're a messenger of the kingdom. You're a representative of the kingdom. And I mean, there's so many other things that we have in the kingdom, who we are in the kingdom. I'm just trying to lay a foundation so you get ready for the ride, okay? This is just the beginning. We go in somewhere. So we as citizens and sons and daughters live in the kingdom of his principles and nature. What does that mean to live in a kingdom? It means to live under the reign of a king, to live under the lordship of a king. And when you live in the kingdom, there is no part that belongs to you. You get to reign with him. But that means if you're in the kingdom, everything in the kingdom is under the reign of God. But he's given you an assignment to extend his reign. There is something that belongs to you, but it's from him. Turn to your neighbor saying, we're going somewhere. But this is how you enter the kingdom, guys, is relationship with the king. You don't buy yourself into the kingdom. You don't like, yo, let me in, you know? Like, you're in the kingdom because you have a relationship with the king. Did you know every person in the kingdom of heaven has a personal relationship with the king? That's a good king. That's not in every kingdom. Every person in the kingdom has a personal relationship with the king. What kind of king would die for his kingdom? Would die for people who aren't even in his kingdom? God wants to fill the earth, right? Does God want to fill the earth? He wants to fill the earth with his glory. With his nature. He made us in his image. Do you know what that means? He made you in his image. You are made in the king's image. You are made in the image of God. You are made in the image, meaning he has given you like nature. Like nature, okay? That's very important to understand. Because, do you guys remember, Jesus was talking, I don't have the passage, but you can look it up later. He said, when someone says, look here or there where the kingdom is, look here or there, there's the kingdom, there's the kingdom. He said, don't listen to them because the kingdom is within you. You have the kingdom within you. The kingdom came with the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is within the Holy Spirit. That's very important to understand. The kingdom is within the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom is within you, making you the carrier of the nature of God. You are the carrier of the nature of God. You are the carrier. You are a representative of the nature of God, of who God is. Do you realize what a privilege that is? The kingdom reflects the character and nature of the king that reigns it. What does that mean? Dude, if you have a bad king, guess what? The kingdom is going to be in poverty. The kingdom is going to not look good. Because why? The kingdom reflects the character and nature of the king. But our kingdom looks so, it's the best kingdom. Did you know God was the creator of this government called kingdom? That's God's plan. It's not human made up. This is how God made it. That's why Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That is God's idea, not my idea, not some guy who like, oh, I'm going to make a government. No, it is God's idea. And his kingdom reflects the nature and character of himself. Oh, Luke 7:21. The kingdom is within you. There's that, if you need reference. The Holy Spirit comes with the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Same thing. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Why is that important to understand? Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. What does Lord mean? Lordship means he has the power and authority and rulership. He is the owner. He is the highest. He is the ruler. He has all authority, all power. He is Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Are you catching this? The Spirit of the Lord comes with the kingdom because it comes with his lordship. Wherever he's lording over is his kingdom. We're going somewhere. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are changed and that we can bring change and the kingdom here on earth. Last thing before we hop into our next section. That was just a foundation, guys. The kingdom comes in a seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. This is so important. This is, I mean, explore the Bible. Many things come in seeds. What come from God? It comes in a seed. His word comes in a seed. The kingdom comes in a seed. Babies come in a seed. It's a very important principle, guys, we're going to dive into. I'm so excited, okay? The seed has everything in it. It has all the DNA to become a big tree. Everything. The seed contains all the information, all the DNA, everything it needs to become a tree. So when you don't just get part of the kingdom, you get the kingdom. You don't just get part of the Holy Spirit, you get the whole Holy Spirit. Why is this important to understand? Because if you take care of a seed, if you cultivate it, if you water it, if you allow to feed it and everything, what happens? It starts to increase. We grow in his reign over us. Why do we preach surrender? Because surrender is growing in his rulership over us. We grow in his reign over us in all parts of our lives. We grow by surrendering more to his lordship. That's how we grow in the kingdom. Is surrender. That's literally how we grow. You can't, a seed can't go like you can't. You have to grow by surrendering to God. That's the only way to grow, guys. You can grow in knowledge, but if you're not surrendered to God, you're just a puffed up airhead. Come on. Okay, so that's the foundation. Next thing I really want to talk about, because the kingdom, guys, people in the kingdom, if you know you're of the kingdom, you should be one of the boldest people on this earth. You should be as bold as a lion. Because if we truly believe in who the king is, I don't care if hell comes after you, I have protection of the kingdom. I don't care if someone of the kingdom of darkness, you're this, this, and this. I'm like, dude, who cares? I have the kingdom of God. I'm part of a greater kingdom. Ready for this? Romans 5:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what's in the kingdom for you. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Faith is how we access these things. And relationship with Him, understanding what we have in Him, comes through relationship with Him, which we access through faith. Amen? Faith is one language of this kingdom. Fear is the language of another. What do you think, what kingdom is fear from?
Satan.
Yeah, his kingdom. Man. Lord, help me with this. Let's pull up that quote real quick. Fear. Fear is elevating a lesser thing above the truth of who He is. If you have a fear of something, just think about it. Who is God in this, and why am I elevating this thing over God? Fear is elevating a lesser thing above the truth of who He is, elevating whose opinion? Man's opinion over God's. Ooh. Shake your neighbor. Say, you got to get this. You got to get this. Shake them real good so that their eyes aren't closing. Say, you should have got coffee before, man. The Spirit will wake you up. Come on. My question, guys, to you, brothers, sisters, fellow citizens. Why should citizens of one kingdom care about the opinions of another? Nor should we come under the systems or the principles of a kingdom we do not belong to. It's not me being ignorant of the systems. I'm saying I'm not coming under the system because I have a greater system. I'm not coming under that reign because I have a greater reign. I have a greater king. Amen? 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to break this story down real quick. Not this. Come on. Nobody look. 1 Samuel. God tells Saul, King Saul. Remember King Saul? He was handsome, tall. He was, it says in the Bible. Like Cody. Come on, somebody. But we won't compare Cody to Saul. Come on, we don't. So God tells Saul to go attack the Amalekites. A nation that was bad. Like, it was bad, okay? And this is what He tells Saul. Saul, go destroy the Amalekites and everything they have. That's what He says. Go annihilate everything. Don't leave anything. Annihilate everything. But Saul sadly disobeys. He disobeys. You know what he does? He's like, I found the king. Let's keep him alive. Let's keep him alive, okay? I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to keep him alive. Dude, the goats they have, the sheep they have, the best. I'm going to keep the best. They're blemishes, like, we'll kill those. But I'm going to keep the best for myself. What did Saul do right there? He disobeyed the king that was over him. I'm trying to illustrate something here. Verse 24, Samuel rebukes him. He's like, why do I hear the bleatings of sheep and goats? Why do I hear the noise when everything was supposed to be annihilated? God is not surprised by the things that he wants. He's not ignorant of the things he tells you. Not in a condemning way or anything, but he knows what he says. God knows what he says. Amen? Let's go to that verse.
This is 1 Samuel 15:24. Saul came, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Because what? I feared. Who? The people. And obeyed who? Their voice. What voice did he obey because he feared the people? Not God's voice. The fear of man will hinder you from obeying God's voice. You trying to please man will hinder you from hearing, from obeying God's voice. Saul had the fear of man, which did not allow him. This is what happens. Saul's like, oh, I've sinned. And Samuel's like walking away, and guess what? Saul grabs onto Samuel's cloak and it rips. And then Samuel like turns back. It's like a movie scene. I just imagine. Turns back. He's like, now the kingdom is torn away from you. Because of his disobedience, the kingdom was torn away from him. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to tear away his kingdom from you. But maybe the fear will get in the way of his lordship over you. Not maybe, it will. It's not a maybe. It's not really negotiable. Fear will get in the way of the reign of the king. Why? Because fear makes you obey not his voice, but a voice of another. In the kingdom of God, our allegiance and obedience is to our king. But Saul chose not to obey, but to fear man. And that made him lose what he had. The kingdom. Fear comes from being under the reign of something else. What reigns over your life? See, if the king of heaven reigns over you, that's freedom. If something else reigns over your life, that is not the king, that's bondage. Simply put, does man's opinion rule over you? Do what people think rule over you? Does someone double tapping your picture on Instagram rule over you? I wonder, wow, why didn't this picture get as much likes as the other? I probably posted something wrong, probably the wrong time or something, not enough hashtags. Like, guys, seriously? I'm for real. I'm going to hit it on the nose. Oh, this person didn't like my picture. Dude, they probably don't like me anymore. What kind of garbage is that? I had to go through this too, guys. I'm not just saying when did man's opinion got exalted above God's opinion? When did man's opinion matter more than God's opinion in our lives? I'm saying if God's opinion of you, if that's the most important for you, like, you're not going to care about who liked your Instagram picture. You're not going to care about that weird guy that said something to you at school. You're not going to worry about that friend that said you're this and this and this. Why? Because you know God's opinion. You know your king, and he reigns over you, not them. Fear of man will hinder you from expanding his kingdom. Have you ever been walking? You're walking. I've had this many times, by the way. Walking, and God's like, pray for that person. And you're like, no, that's not God. You know? Oh, go preach the gospel of this person. Oh, I'm like, no, I just thought of that myself. Like, are you sure? Holy Spirit speaks to us. We're ambassadors of the kingdom. What do ambassadors do? They represent the kingdom wherever they go. So if God delegates an assignment to you,
you are to carry it out, right? Why are we afraid of approaching that? I mean, this, we're just like, there's a person, and I love, someone shared an example, but it was like, same exact thing in my life. There's a person, go pray for that person. It's like, okay, I'm thinking about, oh, no, oh, it's too late, it's fine. Whew, got away from that one. Why? You're just like, you hear it and you're like, your heart starts beating like, oh, I'm going to, no, yes, no, yeah, oh, no. Why? Because the fear of man. That's what it is. Because you care about their opinion more than God's opinion. Over you and over them, actually. And I'm not saying it. I failed many times. Guys, I have not arrived. Nowhere close. I'm still learning. I still fail. But this is what we have to go against. Because, guys, if you fear no man, you will be unstoppable for the kingdom. You will be unstoppable. Say unstoppable. Come on. Under the lordship of the king. Can I have keys come up, please? Under the lordship of the king, he desires obedience, not sacrifice. Oh, I didn't talk to that person. God, I'm going to go spend 50 minutes with you so I can feel better. That's what Saul did. Saul's like, oh, I kept. Can we lower the keys a bit? I kept the goats and sheep for you, Jesus, for you, God. I'm going to sacrifice them to you. God's like, I don't want that sacrifice. I want your obedience. You're not going to feel better by sacrificing something. And I mean, guys, there's so much grace. I'm not, I don't mean this in a condemnation way at all. There's so much grace, but God desires your obedience most of all. First and foremost, He desires obedience. If you're sacrificing stuff He didn't tell you to, it does. I mean, so what? But if you listen to His voice, if you listen to the King, you will see the kingdom. Jesus, come on. God gave you everything you need. And there is so much freedom in that. His thoughts are so much greater. We are to fear God, not man. Why I'm saying this, if you're controlled by the opinions of people, you're not free. You're in fear. I know some of us might feel uncomfortable right now because I'm hitting something. I'm hitting something with the truth. Living under man's opinions is not freedom, it is bondage. It is the fear of man that hinders us from walking out what God has called us to. The Lord challenged me in this area, like, deeply, recently. You know, like, we're like, God, give me more boldness. Who's prayed that prayer? I think everybody has prayed, God, give me more boldness. Like, I want to be bold. I just want to go and have courage and, like, take over the land. So, yeah. Like, I had boldness. I prayed for boldness. I've had boldness prayed over me. I've had boldness pray over me again and again and again and again. He's giving you boldness. Why don't you use it? Literally. And I'm like, I'm at a conference right now. I'm like, oh, boldness. Oh, like fear. Like, I want to get rid of that. God's like, yeah, you're free. You're free from that. Just walk in it now. And I'm like, at the conference, he's like, you're going to preach on the plane. I'm like, what? No. Like, what? Preach on the plane? So I'm like, we're coming back from the conference. And I'm like, dude, this thought does not leave my head. It's not just a thought I got. It's like, you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel on the plane. And I'm just like, guys, what is going to happen? Like, what if security comes over and tries to like stop me or something, you know? And all these thoughts, like, what are people going to think? What in this and this? He's like, I've given you boldness. Now use it. I've given you the freedom of, you're free. Now walk in it. Even if it's uncomfortable, you're free. Because when you don't care about what other people think, guess what? You're like, I don't care. Healing there, gospel here, repent here. You don't care. You care about the king and his kingdom. That's all. So we're at the end of the flight, and I'm like, oh, this is about to go. I'm like, and I had a person that I knew was sitting next to me. He's like, yeah. I'm like, God told me to preach the gospel. He's like, do what you got to do. I'm like, so we land, and you know, I can't like, I'm not going to break the rules, you know. Finally, the flashlight, the light that says you can take off your seatbelts comes off or whatever. And I get up, I'm like, here it goes. And people are getting their bags. And I get up in the aisle and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have news for you. And I start preaching the gospel. Was it pretty? Probably not. Was it perfect? Probably not. But I can tell you how much freedom and boldness I felt in that moment. I'm like, I don't care about what people think right now. I care about my king and my kingdom. And people were uncomfortable, guys. They were. It was like, they're just looking at me like, dude, who is this wacko right here? But I didn't care. Because I cared about God's opinion more than man's opinion of me. I could walk out of that plane saying, who cares what anyone thinks? A couple of Christians, I guess, they're like, oh, good word, you know? And I'm like, well, praise God. But at that moment, guys, that is someone who is a citizen and ambassador of the kingdom who understands who he represents. We don't represent a weak Jesus. We represent a bold, we represent a king who stomped on the devil, who took authority back on earth and gave it to his sons and daughters that we could reign with him, that we could expand his kingdom. So tonight, this is going to be I want to pray that God frees you from the fear of man, literally. That God will free you from this fear. If you feel uncomfortable, this is for you. And he's offering freedom today. Freedom in your school. Like, guys, oh my goodness. If I in high school just didn't care about what people thought, the reign of the king would come. The kingdom would come into my high school and transform it. Not because of me, but because of who I represent. And I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed to represent. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's a power unto salvation. Amen? There's so much freedom, guys. If you want freedom from what people think, I'm saying, one of the biggest things in our ties in our generation is social media, because guess what? We get to find out what people think about us. But honestly, God's opinion is much more important. And that is freedom. Freedom is not, well, I wonder what this person's gonna, that's not freedom. Freedom is like, I could care less what you think. I know who I am. And if you get this at a young age, guys, you will be lions that are unstoppable. Lions that will see the prey and not care and attack it. You'll be bold as lions. It says the righteous
people standing in right relationship with God are bold as lions. Let's rise to our feet. Can we dim the lights? Just this, that's fine. Let's just keep it here. So today, if you want to be free from it, I just want you to come up front. I'm not gonna. If you want to be free from the fear of man, just run up front. There's so much freedom, guys. I had to get free of the fear of man. It's time to get free from the fear of man, guys. It's time to stop carrying. You're like, this is surrendering to the Lord. This is saying, Lord, it doesn't matter. I surrender what people's opinions are of me. And I exalt yours. So if that's you, I just want you to come up front. Jesus, we want to exalt your thoughts above any other thought. In Jesus' name. We want to exalt your thought above any other thought. We want to destroy every opinion that's been formed against us that we've exalted against your opinion. And really, guys, God's opinion is not an opinion. It's just fact. It's truth.